I'd like to ask you to take your bulletin program, and on the right side we have I Sing the Mighty Power of God. That's the senior class hymn. We're going to stand together and sing all three verses. I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
From Genesis 39, 1 through 5, and 20 through 23. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian.
And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord meant all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field.
But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. The congregation may be seated.
I am bound for the kingdom. to glory with me. Alleluia, praise the Lord. I am bound for the kingdom. Will you go to glory with me? Alleluia, praise the Lord.
Here at Santa Rosa Christian School, we take the word Christian very seriously. At this graduation service, we want the Lord Jesus Christ to be honored, and so we want the Word of God, which is God's authoritative Word to us, to be front and center. Today we have invited to be with us today and to preach God's Word, Reverend Will Rice IV of the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He is the president of the ranch there, and a man that travels around the globe speaking to young people, preaching in services, and has his finger on the pulse of what's taking place with young people. And we were so glad when he agreed to come and be with us today. We've already had the opportunity of hearing him speak last night at the junior-senior banquet, and I know that your heart will be challenged and blessed by the preaching of the Word of God. So, Brother Will, would you come at this time and share God's Word?
All right. Well, what a great day, and what a privilege to be part of it with you briefly this afternoon. I'm guessing I'm looking at a room full of people and a platform full of graduates that want to be a success. I don't think anyone's thinking, oh, great, grades are done, school's behind me, how can I get to failure as quickly as possible? I doubt that's what anyone has in mind. And yet, friend, the fact of the matter is, if you don't define success, then you won't know it when you find it. Someone has said that failure is succeeding at the wrong thing. And if I were to ask you to name a prosperous author or a prosperous scholar or a prosperous preacher or a prosperous composer, I suppose you probably could come up with three or four answers, could you not? But if I were to ask you to name one successful slave, you'd say, Rice, you can be successful or you can be a slave, but you can't be both. How could you possibly be a prosperous slave? And that's why it's important for you to know what success is, because if you thought this, you would be mistaken. You would be wrong, because the Bible talks, in fact, the students just read a few moments ago, about a very prosperous man who did not even own the shoes on his feet, let alone the schedule for his day. I'm speaking of a man named Joseph who was a slave. The Bible says about him, I don't know if you caught this as they read, but Genesis 39 says this, that in the house of his master, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. The Bible says the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And then the Bible says that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So what was Joseph? He was a slave. Where was Joseph? In the house of his master. How was Joseph doing? He was prosperous. He was a success. Later, Joseph went from the frying pan into the fire, so to speak. It went from bad to worse. He went from living kind of as a steward in a mansion to the prisoner in a prison. That's why he was called prisoner, I suppose. And the Bible says about that time, second place, both of them bad, same exact commentary from God about Joseph. The Bible says he was there in the prison, and the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Both places, both in Potiphar's house as a slave and in the prison as a prisoner, the Bible says that God was with Joseph. Joseph was not alone. And you'll notice as I read it again in verse 23 about in the prison, the keeper of the prison, look not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. There it is again. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So friend, very obviously and quite transparently, God's definition of success and the definition that you and I have been fed by the culture are obviously at odds. And I have to ask, if it's the world saying one thing and the God who made the world saying something else, whose word are you to take? Whose word am I to take? You know what? I'm addressing a room full of people that want to be a success. I am addressing a room full of people that want to prosper. But if wishes were diamonds, then beggars could be kings. And you can want till the cows come home. Life does not hinge on the things that you want. Life hinges on the decisions you make. And so God is very clear that prosperity, success, is the presence of God. In other words, it is consciously living in the presence of God. And by the way, if you think I'm just making preacher talk, if you think I'm just making a fine little speech that no one will remember in 3 days, because we're here to celebrate these graduates and a wonderful benchmark milestone in their life. But having said that, look, if we don't know what success is, then we won't know it when we find it. And so it's quite important that we know God's mind on this matter. It's consciously living in the presence of God. So let me be clear. Success is who you have, not what you have. 1 Timothy 6 tells us, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches." I cannot think of a better word to describe riches than uncertain. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but the Bible says, in the living God. And I can't think of a better word describing God Almighty than living. The living God who giveth to us richly all things to enjoy. Do you realize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God Almighty? And we can be mighty thankful for the intellect we have, for the ability to be here today, for family and the ability to celebrate these six scholars here that look so wise and smart and accomplished. What a great day of celebration. But I must tell you that at the end of the day, it's important, graduates, for you to remember. And for those of us here that are celebrating this day, to remember that success is not what you have. Success is who you have. If you don't have Christ, you do not have the prosperity for which God intended and God made you. Years ago, I was thinking of a young lady who had everything but was transparently unhappy. Everyone liked her. She was fabulously wealthy. She was beautiful, and she was miserable, and everybody knew it. So we're driving down the road, and we're going down I-70 from Colorado, and I was waxing elephants. I was playing to dad and trying to teach my kids a lesson. And I said, "Kids, this lady, she had millions of dollars, but she wasn't happy, and being rich won't make you happy." And that's true. And I said, "She had a lot of friends, but," I said, "she wasn't happy." And I said, "Having a lot of friends won't make you happy." And that's true. And I said, "She was beautiful, but she was miserable." And I said, "Being beautiful won't make you happy." Have you ever heard the wheels spinning in your children's heads before? I set all this up. I could hear the wheels spinning. And finally, my daughter piped up and she said, "But Dad, being ugly won't make you happy either, will it?" Well, I had to acknowledge she was right, but let me ask you a question. If there are two people, and I'm not trying to be crass here, but there are two people here. One is dumb and unlikable and broke, like me, and the other is, this is dumb, right? The other is brilliant and beautiful, and everyone loves them, but both of them are miserable. Now, first of all, would you grant that both these people could be miserable? Would you grant that? Good, I'm glad that we agree. All right, if both of them can be miserable, and if both of them are miserable, who do you think has the capacity to be more miserable? The person that has an excuse, or the person that has everything they ever thought would make them happy and they're still miserable? This guy has nowhere to go from here. Here's some guy, he grows up, let's make it Florida since we're here, he grows up poor in Florida. And he wants to be an actor. And I'm not saying that's intrinsically wrong. But he wants to be an actor. So he practices. And in the kindergarten play, he gets to be Little Bo Peep's sheep, as I was when I was in kindergarten. And his mom takes 1,000 cotton balls and glues them on a little outfit like my mom did for me. And the teacher and everyone says, "Oh, what a great job." And he believes it. And then the next year, he gets the star role. Forget the sheep. He is now Little Bo Peep herself. All right. And then by the time, I know it's absurd, but it could happen. And then he gets to junior high, and he is taking the school by storm. By the time he's in college, he's taking acting classes. And by the time he's 20, he's got a kind of a secondary role in a Crest commercial. And everyone back in his little hometown, they think, oh, this man has hung the moon. He has hit the big time. He's in a Crest commercial for 3 seconds. We want to be like him. And that leads to a secondary role in an actual film. And before you know it, he's good. And by the time he's 50, he's rich. And because it's Hollywood and they can make anything, he's now attractive. And he ain't smart, but he can sound like it for about 5 minutes. That's good enough for Good Morning America. So he sounds smart. He looks great. He's a millionaire. And he's miserable. Now, let me just tell you something. There is nowhere for this man to go. There is nowhere for this man to find success when he has the things that supposedly are success, but he's not happy. Let me tell you something. Any success that does not include what God made me to be and what God made me to do and have the peace and power of God, I don't want that kind of success. Thank you very much. So very obviously, and the Bible doesn't say it directly, it embodies it in a story to make it much more true to life. You can put wheels on this immediately because you not only see the truth, you see that it is illustrated in the life of a man who's already lived, a real man named Joseph. God was with him, and he prospered. He wasn't prosperous because he was rich. He was broke. He wasn't prosperous because everyone loved him. His brothers sold him like the loser of a litter to a bunch of land pirates called Ishmaelites. He wasn't prosperous because he had great power. He had none. The Lord was with him, and he prospered. So what I'm telling you this morning or this afternoon is that success is who you have, not what you have. Let me ask you a question. When was Joseph most prosperous? Was he most prosperous in his father's tent? Or in his brother's pit, in which they threw him to later sell him as a slave because they did not like him? Or was he most successful in Potiphar's house as a slave? Or in the prison as a prisoner, or in the palace? Later, you may know, Joseph became the prince of Egypt and second in command of all the land of Egypt. So my question to you is, in which of those situations was Joseph most prosperous? And if you say palace, you've missed it. He prospered in the palace, but I'm actually making an assumption there because the Bible does not say that. It does say that about the prison and Potiphar's house. So success, Dad and Mom and grandparents and friends and, yes, graduates, it's not what you have, it's who you have. Friend, Jesus said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My dear friend, we're all sinners. We deserve God's judgment. But God loves sinners like us so much that he sent his perfect Son to live the sinless life you could never live. We deserve judgment. He earned heaven because he owns it. But he took our place, he took our punishment, he took our judgment, and anyone who will turn from their self and their way to God's Son and trust him to forgive their sin and save them can know peace, can know pardon, and can know and enjoy the literal presence of God. Let me make one other statement, two of them actually, to clarify exactly what I'm saying. Success is who you have, not what you have. And second of all, success is who you have, not where you are. You know what that means? That means I don't have to delay my prosperity, my joy, my success to some future date and some different place. I'm talking to somebody right now. You're waiting for your ship to come in. You think somehow that if you were in a different place doing a different thing with different people, then you'd be happy. The fact of the matter is, it's not what you have or where you are, it's who you have. The Bible says of Joseph, the Lord blessed him. The Bible says of Joseph, the Lord made all that he did to prosper. How could the Lord do that? Because the Lord was present in a very specific way here. That is, Joseph was consciously living in the presence of God Almighty. I don't know if you have a happy, quiet place, but like when you go to the dentist's office and you want to be anywhere, somewhere, anywhere, but in that chair, maybe a place you let your mind go to. For some of you, it might be a beach or a lake. For me, it would be one of the places I like the outdoors. It'd be a place I've hiked, like maybe Desolation Wilderness. It's actually much more cozy than it sounds. Or Never Summer Wilderness. I'm somewhere high and dry and quiet, somewhere above 10,000 feet probably, where there are not many people and no noise. And while my hide may be in the dentist's chair, my mind is somewhere quiet and serene and peaceful. Now, friend, you can't always be at that quiet, happy place, but you can always have the one that brings it with you when you live consciously in the presence of God. Friend, nothing you do, nothing you can attain, nothing you can make will ever bring the peace and pardon that only the presence of God can bring. One of the things I'm so thankful for about Santa Rosa Christian Academy is that this is a school that loves people, loves students, loves the Bible, and are not seeking for truth. They're teaching based upon the truth on which they stand. And I must applaud you. I must congratulate you parents for having the wisdom to put your young people in a school that has academic excellence that's based on the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now, look, Psalm 105 talks about Joseph, and here's the gist of Psalm 105. Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore, remember His marvelous works. And this is the story of Joseph. Basically, God says, the Psalm says, God is a marvelous God, look for Him and you'll see Him. You're pretty much going to see what you're looking for, and the reason so many of us never see God is because we're not looking for Him, and so we don't live in His presence. For some here today, perhaps you don't even know God. You may be religious or good, but you've never put your faith and trust in the Son, Jesus Christ. The psalm goes on to talk about all the marvelous works of God to Abraham, to whom He had promised to make a great nation. And here's how God made Abraham a great nation. The Bible says that he sent a famine. Isn't that a marvelous work? God sent hunger. He sent a famine. The Bible says God sent a man before them, even Joseph. You know, if you didn't know Joseph's story, you'd think that God gave Joseph a nice fat per diem and a new suit of clothes and sent him on some business trip. Let me ask you a question. Did Joseph's brothers sell him or did God send him? And the answer is yes. Yeah, his brothers sold him and God sent him. So God sent a famine. Was that good? No. God sent a slave. Was that good? No. Later on, the Bible says about the Egyptians, He turned the Egyptians to hate His people. Was that good? No. But let me tell you something. All those things in Psalm 105 are called the marvelous works of God. Why? Because God made a promise to Abraham. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, what Abraham did not know, and what Joseph could not know, is that God's plan to do that was to take a man, Joseph, and send him into slavery. His brothers thought they were selling him. God was sending him. And to send a famine so that Israel would need to go into Egypt, and to send a man ahead to prepare the way and to orchestrate all these seemingly bad things into God actually literally keeping the promise that He gave to Abraham to begin with. It's a little bit like this story. Maybe you've heard a story like this. This isn't a true story. This is just for fun. But maybe you've heard it, and it makes a point. I have a friend, and he jumped out of an airplane. Oh, someone says, that's bad. No, that's good. That's good. He had a parachute. Oh, that's good. Someone says, no, that's bad. Oh, that's bad. The ripcord didn't work. Oh, that's bad. Someone says, no, that's good. He was right over a big cotton farm in Alabama, and he was heading right down for a big stack of cotton. Oh, that's good. Someone says, no, that's bad. No, that's bad. There was a pitchfork right in the middle of that stack of cotton. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. He missed it altogether. Now, you could almost say the same thing about Joseph. Look, if I asked these graduates, have you had a good day? They'd say, well, I've been a little bit nervous today, but it's been exciting, and I'm graduating, and it's a fantastic day. Wouldn't you say that? Yeah, it's a great day. But you know, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not trying to be silly here, if I asked you if you had a good day, you don't even know. You won't even know how it fits in until years from now. But there's a God in heaven who is in control, who, by the way, holds you responsible for decisions you freely make and do make a difference. So here's Joseph. His dad loves him. Oh, that's good. No, no, that's bad. His brothers don't. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. His dad gave him a coat of many colors anyway. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. His brothers hate him even more. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. Because even though they hated him and threw him into a pit and wanted to kill him, they didn't. Oh, that's good. No, no, that's pretty much bad. They sold him to a bunch of Ishmaelite land pirates, as I called them, on a bunch of camels heading down to Egypt. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. They sold him to the nicest guy in all of Egypt. His name was Potiphar. Oh, that's good, someone says. No, that's really, really bad. You know who he was married to? Mrs. Potiphar. And she lied about Joseph and had him thrown in prison. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good, because God sent him a couple of men from Pharaoh's court, and they dreamed some dreams, and Joseph told them by God's help what they would be, and he told those men to remember him when they got out of prison. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. They totally forgot. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good, because God remembered. Now, friend, parents, I do not know you, perhaps, but I sincerely thank God for the way you have invested in these graduates on this stage this afternoon to invest in their development, in their education, and in their lives. But I want to remind you today, as we congratulate these graduates, that success is not having a diploma or a college education that may follow after this, if that is the course you're taking, or a job that may come from that. Success is consciously living in the presence of God. Failure is succeeding at the wrong thing. So may God help us to be people who know God, have accepted His Son alone, not our religion and not our works, have accepted His Son as our Savior, and who leave this place today thanking Him and honoring Him and congratulating these graduates and consciously seeking to live in the presence of the God who does not give health and wealth, but who gives prosperity in the truest sense of the word.